Speak, O Lord, your servant heareth. Amen. Please be seated. A number of years ago, it's actually a number of decades ago, but I don't like to admit that. So we'll say a long time ago, but not that long, I worked for the World Council of Churches at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and we ran a big program on science, science and society, science and ethics, science and faith, and this was a massive collaboration between MIT and the World Council of Churches. It brought together 2,000 scientists from around the world, scientists and theologians and engineers from around the world. And at the end of this massive 12-day conference, there were papers and articles by the dozens that had to be received and then proofread, because a lot of the articles and essays were written by people for whom English was their second or third or fourth language. Well, my job was to take these essays, these scientific and theological, philosophical, sociological papers, and bring them into good English, make sure I didn't change the meaning of anything, but we wanted them to speak. And so I worked like a dog for a long time in my office in Geneva. And when the book came out, I'm not proud. Yes, I am. I got that book, and what was the first thing I went to look for in the acknowledgments? To see my name. It's almost like on Broadway, you have to get to see your name. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and everyone was there but me. My name was not there. My work went unacknowledged. I was thunderstruck. I felt hurt. I felt unappreciated, overlooked, that my contribution wasn't important. How could this be? When I remembered that event recently when I was preparing for this sermon and looked at the gospel lesson. Let me read the first sentence and see if it jars you the way it jarred me. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. What's going on? The other Mary? This is like this kid in Geneva in his office. It's totally unappreciated. The other Mary, how many Marys are there? Like there are hundreds or tens, or we have no idea. There's Mary Magdalene. We know Mary Magdalene. Everybody knows Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is one of those people that made a difference in the ministry of Jesus. We think today now, as we understand more about the Roman economy, we think that she possibly bankrolled Jesus' ministry. And that she was a businesswoman, and she was bankrolling, and she became obviously very close to the inner circle of the disciples. And so we know about and Mary Magdalene's stay remains important for a long time. So we know about Mary Magdalene. She's well-to-do. She's right at the center. She's as close to Jesus as the disciples. She's closer than most of the disciples, to be honest. And in this time of Jesus' arrest, the night of his arrest, Peter betrays Jesus. How about Mary Magdalene? She does not betray Jesus. At the cross, there was Mary Magdalene, and there was Mary, the mother of a couple other people, and another. Who is this Mary? Jesus' mother? Her name was Mary. Was it an aunt? They had aunts. Who was this? And it just says, oh, and the other Mary, as if it's unimportant. I wonder how she felt if she knew. I'm sure she never read, because she was probably gone by the time this was actually put down. Was there an oral tradition behind it that actually named her? It said Mary, the mother of our Lord? Or Mary, the grandmother of Peter? Or Mary, who the barber down the street who worked on shaving beards? Maybe in the earliest tradition there was some identification of who this was, but it didn't come down to us. We don't know anything about her. And that makes me sad. As a kind of historian, I like to see where everything, all the connections between events and between people and times. the other Mary? Did she feel overlooked, unimportant, unvalued? Are you another Mary? Have you been? Oh yeah, so-and-so. Have you felt what it feels like to be overlooked, to not be taken seriously, to be made to feel that your contribution really isn't very important? Have you ever felt that? If so, you have a place in the gospel. The other Mary represents you, represents me. Because that is part of the condition that we live with. We live in a world where people overlook each other. We're so driven by our own needs and our own desires that we don't see the needs and desires of others. And so we overlook them. And yet, our first lesson had an interesting phrase and is dead wrong. This is what it said in the first lesson. You know the message Jesus sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea. Bunk. Didn't spread throughout Judea. It was carried throughout Judea. It was brought. It was a message that was brought by the other Mary and Mary Magdalene. If it weren't for these two Marys, we wouldn't have this message. It didn't just spread like locusts or like clouds. It didn't just spread throughout Judea. When the other Mary met Jesus on the road, she was so profoundly changed in ways that we have no idea. But there she was. She spent the rest of her life, perhaps, telling the story of how she went to the cross when all of the disciples fled. But she was there at the cross watching this person that she loved be tortured to death, and she did not leave until he breathed his last. And she told that story wherever she could, I'm sure. And then as the next day, as she goes to the tomb, there's an earthquake and an angel and strange and incredible and wonderful scary things. And the angel says, go tell. Go tell. She did go tell. That's why we have the faith today, because of the other Mary who was overlooked. She did go tell. It didn't just spread. Another number of years ago, a very dear friend of mine, her name was Kathy. We belonged to a group of people. We thought we were all acting freely, and we were making choices not as part of a herd, but just our own individual choices. And all those private individual choices ended up putting about 75-80 nonprofit organizing types in Dorchester. You know, people without a lot of money, people that are into education, into nonprofit work. And we all ended up in Dorchester, and we started to create new institutions and got to know each other. And one of the people in our midst was this woman, Kathy. And one of Kathy's many, many, many skills and gifts was she was a peace activist like nobody's business. But unlike almost everybody else that were peace activists, she loved people. People that she disagreed with, she loved. And not only that, she just didn't, I love you. I don't believe everything you say, but I love you, you rat. She just wasn't that way. When she let you know she loved you, she cared for you. And that was the most important thing. One day it was raining, and she was going to the post office, and she had her little three-year-old in one hand, and she had her infant in her backpack, John. And a car stopped. She was going to the post office and she's crossing a busy street, and the car stopped to let her cross, and so she crossed. But somebody, a car behind the car that was stopped, didn't see that that car had stopped for a pedestrian. And he drove around the car that had stopped, right where Kathy was walking across the street. And I don't know how she did it. It's one of these, you know, miracle stories about a toddler lifting a semi-truck. She managed to push her daughter out of the way, hard, pushed her daughter hard, way out of the way. And she spun herself around so that the car hit her head on and saved her baby on her back. A friend of mine at the funeral said, "What a terrible thing. Those little children will never know who gave them birth. They'll never know the 9 months, 18 months of pain and labor she went through to bring them into the world. They won't know that." What will they know? They won't remember her laugh. They won't remember her smile. But their lives will be different than somebody else's because they were the son and daughter of Kathy, who just loved people. And I'm sure that they carried Kathy in their DNA and in their hearts and in their minds. Without knowing anything about this dear woman, they carried them into their adult lives. Kathy may be forgotten, but her work goes on. It's a little bit like a crucifixion, and you think it's all over and dead, but there's resurrection and life comes back, and it goes on. Today, we celebrate the baptism of Danielle Josephine Wundla, and we do it with joy, remembering not just the people in our midst, but all of the people in her family going back as far as imaginable to bring her to this day. Amen.